Please open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 52. We'll be reading verses 13 of chapter 52 through Isaiah 53, verse 12. Fourth of servant, the servant songs in the book of Isaiah, and the last and most complete. Let us hear God's word. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what they had not been told, for what had not been told them, they shall see, and what they had not heard, they shall consider. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've exalted your Son above all, and Lord, that you have laid help upon one who is mighty, and that he was able to bear all of our sins to Calvary. We praise you, Lord, for raising him from the dead, and Lord, making him the head of the church. And so, Lord, we commit this time to you. We ask you that you might be glorified and magnified, honored, and Lord, that we might be transformed into your image as we look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. So guide us now in your word, Lord, we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. They say big doors turn on small hinges. Well, the big door of salvation turns upon the gigantic hinges of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is just one person. You know, a church is made of many members, and we are one body, but we are all holding upon the head of the Lord Jesus, and he is preeminent. He's preeminent in this passage that we've read, and you saw that this motif of his death keeps coming up over and over again. And no blessing ever fell upon us but through the death of Christ. Our message this morning, this afternoon, will be upon the verse 11 at the end and the beginning of verse 12. It says in verse 11, "For he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many." And then we will focus upon the words, "For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong." All these blessings because of he bearing our iniquities. Our message will be brought in three parts. Because of Christ's death, we are made righteous. Because of Christ's death, he receives the victor's spoils. And because of Christ's death, we receive the eternal fruit of his labor. Well, first, let's consider Christ's death, because by it we are made righteous. Scripture says, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Some translations have it, and he shall bear their iniquities, but these are not disjointed. The fact that we are made righteous in him is all due to the death of Christ. We're justified by faith in him, but it's faith in his death. It's faith in his blood. It says in Colossians 2:12, "Buried with him in baptism, in which you also are raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead." It's through faith in his work. You see, we don't have a blind faith. We have a very focused faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Our eyes are blinded to this person without grace, but they're opened to him, and our eyes are fixed upon the Lord Jesus, and particularly upon the Jesus Christ defined here, the one who has borne our iniquities. We'll never get away from this. If you ever get away from this, you've gotten away from the gospel. If you get away from the gospel, you've gotten away from Jesus Christ. And as we've been urged to preach the gospel to ourselves every day, we preach to ourselves that he has borne my iniquities. It's in the plural, iniquities. Sin after sin, day after day. These sins being laid upon the Lord Jesus, and now we're free. And we're free because he has made us righteous in him. We understand this word, we understand for God to justify us, it is for him to pronounce us righteous. And for him to pronounce us righteous, he had to have taken away all of our sins. Every one of our sins, we are sinless before God. Some have defined justification as just as if we had not sinned. That is true. But it's also just as if we had fulfilled all the law as Jesus fulfilled it for us. He is the righteous servant who fulfilled that law for us. And now we're pronounced righteous. We don't go away from this pronunciation with any pride. It's with humility. It's with, I cannot believe this for myself, but I believe it because God has declared it. He has said, you are righteous in Christ. So, tells us in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him." And this statement ties our justification straight to the blood of Christ. It's certainly faith in his blood, but we are justified by the blood of Christ. He purchased this blessing for us. And so because of Christ's death, we are made righteous. You know, what are the applications of this? In everything we do, we can find some way of justifying ourselves. We certainly do that when we sin, but we can also take the good things that happen to us and think, well, maybe I deserve that. You know, I must be doing something right for God to have blessed me. We better go back to the cross of Christ for every blessing that falls out upon us. Yes, you read your scriptures. Praise God that you did. Yes, you prayed. Praise God that you did. But because Christ died for you, those prayers were heard. And because Christ died for you, you even had a desire to read the scriptures. So we'll never get away from this gigantic hinge, nor do we want to. All of salvation hinges upon Christ's death. We are made righteous because he died. I don't know if you're ever tempted, and I think we are tempted always to give ourselves credit. I mean, we're polishing our fingers and nails at certain times when we do something well, and we thank the Lord for it, but we really must fall upon the Lord at every blessing and say, Lord, this is you. This is because you died for me. This is because my sins were borne by you on a cruel cross, a cross he did not deserve in and of himself, but that which we deserve to die for eternally. And so he's paid for that sin, he's washed us, and we are now justified. Secondly, because of Christ's death, he receives the victor's spoils. And this is language of a battle. The general divides the spoil with the soldiers after having won that victory. And it's used in this in the scriptures that the spoils were taken. You remember those two beggars that thought, well, you know, if we stay here, we're going to die. If we go into the enemy's hands, we might as well go there. Well, they go and the enemy's gone. And there's all this around them and all this food and everything. And they said, well, we shouldn't have this just for ourselves. We need to go ahead and should be divided among all the brethren. And so the spoils of that battle won by God, putting it in the minds of those individuals that they need to flee from destroying Israel. And those spoils were divided. Well, Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. This was a great battle, and he utterly destroyed the enemies. It says in Colossians chapter 2, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. I love that word, triumph. It's not like we sort of won this battle. We kind of limped off from victory. I mean, he crushed the enemy at Calvary. He didn't just crush Satan. He crushed death. Death has no more sting. Christ is arisen. And though death is an enemy, it's an enemy that's conquered. There's a funeral today for the Kirbys, and they will attend another one tomorrow. But all those trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, death is an avenue to eternal life and a resurrection that Christ will perform. He'll speak, and everyone will rise, some to a life of eternal life, some to eternal death. But he is the Lord of life, and he conquered death. It had no eternal sway over him, just 3 days, and he rose from the dead. He conquered our sin. And what a terrible thing it was that our sin always coming up before God, but the Lord Jesus Christ vanquished sin and all that would follow from that, the judgment of God, put to rest because all that judgment fell upon him. We read in Romans 3 that he is our propitiation, a word that I like every kindergartner to understand very well, a sacrifice to extinguish the wrath of God, to completely absorb God's wrath. And the Lord Jesus Christ did that in destroying sin. He is our propitiation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the mighty conqueror. And it says this in the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 21 and 22. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides the spoils. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is that stronger man. Satan seemed to be strong, and he has a strength over this world and a blindness that he has placed on them. But when Christ comes in and light comes, darkness is extinguished. It says in Ephesians, you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ came, the stronger one, and opened your heart, quickened you, made you alive, showed you himself, and you fell upon him in faith, loving him and adoring him. And so he divides the spoils, but he is the victor. We read in Philippians chapter 2, if you'll turn there in your Bible, this wonderful passage of Christ's victory. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Exalted, conquering, victor, the name above all names, and every knee shall bow to him. So because of Christ's death, he receives the victor's spoils. But also because of Christ's death, we receive the eternal fruit of his labor. Isn't that what it says there in chapter 53, verse 12 of Isaiah? Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Now, this dividing isn't sort of like we divide things up among ourselves and we all get a little fraction. When he divides the spoils of his victory, he gives himself to each of us. We each of us are made heirs of Christ, joint heirs with Christ. And when you think of heaven, I hope you don't think of things. I hope you're not thinking of the pearly gates and the streets of gold before you think of Christ, who's illuminating those. He is the blessing of heaven. And all that he shows us and all that he does in eternal life will be simply his love for us. And we will love him. We will love one another with pure hearts fervently, most fervently there, even as we should love each other now. But we're going to love this Christ, and who knows all that will flow from it. The blessings of this life, we have our justification, our sanctification, and then there is the glorification, where he is going to show us most fully how he has earned all these things for us. And, you know, the world says, well, you only have a pie in the sky religion. Well, they don't even have a pie in the sky at all. They have nothing to look forward to. And we have much more than a pie in the sky. We have eternal life with Christ earned for us. A life of never sinning, of never repenting, of never wondering, Lord, are you really seeing me and hearing me? Your eyes will be fixed upon the Lord Jesus. He will never set you aside for another. When he says, there you will be with me also, he never says that will cease at any time, that where he is, we will be with him. And I hope that's your desire today, that he is the blessing of eternal life. It says in Romans 8, verses 16 and 17, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. David said, once I was young, and now I'm old, and I've never seen his seed forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging bread. And I think of David. He's now with the Lord. And all the things that he wrote, all the messianic psalms he wrote, are being fulfilled before his eyes. And there are children here among us. And you think life is long, but it really is very short. And what happens in this life is extremely important. Are we going to come to Christ or not? And every day we put off and say, I'm not going to come to Christ, is a history that's being built, a history of lostness. And I've never met a Christian who said, I wish I'd been saved later in life. It was just a little too late. I mean, I would have had more time being lost. We all mourn the days we didn't spend serving Christ, and we're jealous, in a sense, of those brethren who came to the Lord at an early age. And we want that. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Little children coming to Christ, don't hinder them. Don't hold them back from me. And we urge all the little children to come. And how about the teenagers who haven't come? We urge you, run to him. Flee to him. Satan has yet a stronger hold upon you in your mind. Your mind has been more gripped with darkness and thinking in the ways of the world, thinking without Christ. But when God opens your eyes, you want Christ always to be set before you. The new birth is a reality, and it occurs in God coming to the heart. And when the gospel comes to your ears, God is coming to your heart, and he is drawing you, as it were. Do not resist the Holy Spirit. Do not resist the call to come to Christ, because every Christian here came to Christ on a day. And if you have not come, what day will you come? Is there a better day than today? I think not. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. There's a law there, because if you hear his voice and you don't come, you're hardening your heart. I've always loved watching concrete being poured out. And I've seen it come down these trucks, and a little kid, I just marveled at this stuff, and these guys could lay it out, and it's so rough and all, and then they smooth it out, and you can almost make it so smooth you hurt yourself. They've got to make it rougher on the end. They scrub it up with a broom. And it gets so hard, and you've got to take a jackhammer to break it up. Well, our hearts are like that, except they get harder than the concrete I spoke of. And we don't want that. We want the gospel to come upon our hearts. And God doesn't save us because we have soft hearts. I mean, we've learned through the study of the gospel truly that Jesus wants us to come just as we are. We can't get that heart better. We come to Christ, and the Lord Jesus is the one who grants repentance, grants faith, grants love, grants conversion. How am I ever going to make it through this Christian life? I've heard people say, I'm not going to come because I won't be that good a Christian. Can you imagine? Come. The Lord Jesus makes Christians. He makes them walk with him. You don't worry about those details. You simply know that judgment is next. It's appointed a man wants to die, and then comes the judgment. And we need to be very concerned to stand before God without a great intercessor. If you'll flip over to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. He says in verse 14, justice is turned back and righteousness stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. So truth fails. And he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He marveled. He wondered that there was no intercessor. Well, the passage we're reading actually ends in this intercession of Christ. And the Lord is the one who gave salvation for us in his Son, provided this salvation. There is hope. There is a place to run from your sins. Even run from a hard heart. I mean, I think of an individual who has such a hard heart, they don't even want to pray for salvation, but they know they really should. I think if that person goes to the Lord and says, Lord, I have such a hard heart, help me, God will be merciful. He tells us to come. Look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Verse 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And that's for all of us. We have the privilege of coming to partake of the Lord's Supper, and it is a great privilege. It's the Lord Jesus' supper to remind us of his death, to think about it, and to know that he has borne all of our iniquities. And so because of this death, we are made righteous. Because of Christ's death, he receives the victor's spoils. And because of Christ's death, we receive the eternal fruit of his labor. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that our Savior, the Lord Jesus, hears all of our cries. And Lord, we cry out to you that we might know you, that we might walk with you, that Lord, we might not take you for granted. Lord, we know that you grant a true and proper fear of you, a fear that worships you, a fear that looks upon your word and knows that you are God. We ask you, Lord, to grant us faith and love and hope in you. Lord, we praise you for your word, and we ask you to bind it to our hearts and help us not forget it, and help us to grow into your image. And we ask you this for Jesus' sake. Amen.